I do this for my culture. Peace and welcome back to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Tonight, we're going to talk about the embarrassment of the Baltimore Police Department. What are your expectations for the upcoming new commissioner that's supposed to be named at the end of the month? We're going to talk about it. I'm going to break it down to you folks about where we really are in this whole situation with the Baltimore Police Department. I mean, the hits just keep on coming. This has to be one of the most worst weeks of the police. We'll talk about it. Stay riding with us. It's For the Culture on WEAA.
I do this for my culture.
Welcome to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening, folks. All right, so we got to talk about it. First and foremost, tonight we're going to have a couple of different conversations. One being we're going to talk about what's happening with the Baltimore City Police Department. Yeah, they are once again embarrassed. Another embarrassing moment for the Baltimore City Police Department. In light of what the mayor is trying to do to find the new commissioner, to install a new commissioner into the police department. So we got to talk about this embarrassing moment, or rather embarrassing moments. And to get your thoughts on your get your thoughts about what do you expect from Baltimore City Police leadership at this point? What would you like to see in your new commissioner? But more importantly, how do you think that this department can get back on track, right? On a very, very real track. And I'm going to share with you, I'm going to break it down to you some things that have happened just over the past couple of months that leaves us all wondering, can this department truly be redeemed? We'll have that conversation. Also, we're going to get you started with Homecoming 2018 happening here at Morgan State University. So tonight we'll be checking in and getting you live broadcast of all of the Homecoming festivities this evening. So it's going to be so much fun, but it's Homecoming weekend here at Morgan State. And you know how Morgan State does for Homecoming. It is an opportunity to reconnect. It's an opportunity to celebrate, but most importantly, it's an opportunity for us to really show why Morgan State University is the national treasure that it has been called. So Homecoming 2018, we got the concert tonight, the big game on Saturday, and it's just going to be a whole lot of bears in the building. Y'all hear me? A lot of bears. All right, folks, that's what's up right there. So tonight, I wanted to really talk about this Baltimore City Police Department. You know, if you haven't heard, the Baltimore Police Department has acknowledged today that there is the officer that was found drunk in his patrol car slumped over. Well, according to Chief T.J. Smith, who serves as the police department spokesperson, He said, this is something that embarrassed the agency yet again. Officer Aaron Hillman, who was working and was in full uniform, he was found slumped over behind the wheel of his police car near Pigtown on Tuesday afternoon. A breathalyzer revealed that his blood alcohol level was 0.22. Wow. Yeah. On Monday, Interim Police Commissioner Gary Tuggle mobilized all of the available, the commissioner said that he was going to go right into making a decision about the officer's fate, and he ended up firing the officer the following day and charged the officer, the former officer, with a DUI. Now, when Chief T.J. Smith was talking to reporters about the incident, this was also during a time when there was two arrests were made in the Riverside killing of Timothy Morricone. But, you know, the morale and the situation in the city's police department is at such a low point at this moment. And one of the reporters from WBAL, I think this is interesting, one of the reporters from WBAL, Mr. Phil Yakopsky, asked whether Hillman would have had to check in with the supervisor before receiving the keys to his vehicle. Chief T.J. Smith responded, I'm not sniffing your breath when you come in. Wow. Wow. That was a report by the Baltimore Sun as they talked about that. And then... I don't even know where to really start with the Baltimore City Police Department, because this just came over the wire just earlier today, this afternoon. A high-ranking Baltimore police commander has been banned. I've never heard of this, folks. He's been banned from city buildings after having a very heated and intense meeting with Interim Commissioner Gary Tuggle, to the point he got so mad that he threw a chair into a wall. What? Yeah. Colonel Perry Stanfield, who was a retiree who was recruited back to the department by former Commissioner Daryl D'Souza, said he quit after Commissioner Gary Tuggle moved to follow him. To fire him following the incident. They Commissioner Tuggle and Chief of Staff Jim Gillis had summoned former Police Commissioner Perry Stanfield into a meeting, and Mr. Stanfield said that they were berating him like he was a little kid. Stanfield was serving as the commander in charge of a new unit called the Institute for Community Police Relations and Downtown Engagement. He had been working on a new program in collaboration with Coppin State University and also was assigned to try to tackle the issue of squeegee kids who wash car windows at stoplights. So he was the man in charge of this new unit. He got berated like a kid, according to him, by Interim Commissioner Gary Tuggle and Mr. Jim Gillis. And then essentially that chair went flying into a wall. That was today. On-duty police officer found drunk was yesterday. I'm just going down the timeline of embarrassments right now. This is certainly not to make fun of anything, to make mockery of anyone or this institution. I want us to have a very real conversation. Also, remember the situation back in August where the police was caught on camera dragging a woman in a melee at on Baltimore Street near the strip clubs on the block? Well, it ended up that the black woman that was being dragged and punched by the police was a female officer. Yes, she was a sergeant. However, she was suspended after a violent arrest. And that particular story went viral, made national news. That was back in August. Then we remember the panel. We talked about it here, how they came to the decision that Officer Souter killed himself. That was earlier this in the summer. That came out. Yep. And then to top it all off, folks, we ended the month of September with the highest violence number of murders, 37 killings in September, making September one of the deadliest years in Baltimore City in over the past year. And then on top of that, the mayor saying she's trying to look for a new police commissioner. My goodness. So can we talk about all that happened? Top Baltimore commander quits today. The drunk police officer was fired yesterday. Back in August, the black female officer, the officers basically fighting themselves in August. Officer Souter, that panel still left a bad taste in a lot of your mouths, right? The decision about that being a suicide and not a homicide. And then we have one of the most violent months in the past 12 months happened in the month of September, the month we just got out of, with 37 killings. Wow. So at this point, this is, again, not to make mockery, because now we're looking at an institution that has gone rogue, as some would say, a dysfunctional institution. And if the institution or one of the main stewards of the city is operating at a dysfunctional level, and they're operating at this level with a constituency that has a relationship that's already strained, I mean, it's like creating the recipe for disaster. So tonight, I just want to take a few minutes to talk to us about what are the expectations that you have for the mayor's decision on making the new commissioner, on finding a new police commissioner. Over the past 4 years, Baltimore has had three commissioners. Past 4 years. We're in a new place, but then we're also in the same place. Even with the consent decree and all of that stuff. We talked about that. I don't even want to talk about that. I'm just looking at what's happened over the summer. How about that? Let's just keep it down to the past 3 months. Look at what has happened over the summer to figure out what needs to happen. What are your expectations for BCPD leadership? And more importantly, how do you think you can help? How do you think you can help? We're going to take a quick pause. When we come back, I'm going to get your folks. Folks are checking in. I want to hear what you got to say. You can certainly check us out online at For the Culture 88.9 on our Facebook page. Also, you can ride with us at my Facebook page on Faraji Muhammad. So many questions, so few answers. Stay riding with me. We're talking about Baltimore City Police Department embarrassing themselves again. What can be done to bring them and the department back on track? It's For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM.
I do this for my culture.
Peace and welcome back to For the Culture. Right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me. Talking about Baltimore City Police Department, I'm asking a question. Given this timeline of embarrassments, because Chief T.J. Smith said that this latest situation about a drunk officer found in his patrol car is something that embarrassed the agency yet again. I'm saying there has been a timeline of embarrassments. But more important, that's not even just looking at the timeline, really looking at, what are the expectations? The mayor is looking to install a new police commissioner or make a decision about a police commissioner. She announced that on yesterday, saying that she was going to do to make that decision by the end of the month, in the next 30 days or so, or less. So at this point, it's like, what are we expecting from the Baltimore City Police Department's leadership? What are we expecting? Colonel Perry Stanfield quit today after a heated conversation with the interim commissioner. He throws a chair against the wall, walks out. He said in a phone interview that he lost his temper. Yeah, man. But we're losing our police. You lost your temper, Colonel, but we're losing our police. All right, let's go to the lines and see what you got to say. Clarence from Northwest, Baltimore, let's talk.
Hey, Raji, could you help me out with something, please?
Sure.
You know, you can beat somebody, punch them in the face, stomp them, do whatever you want to do while one of your coworkers hold them. And we've seen this twice. And, you know, that life goes on as usual, you know, to a degree. You could throw people in a van or jump off a bicycle and bend them like a pretzel, knowing that, you know, this would do some damage to them, and throw them in the back of a van and then be exonerated of any wrongdoing. But you get drunk, and this is, you know, cause for firing. I don't, you know, help me out with that one, Faraji.
I mean, when you're drunk, you're not in your right mind. Your judgment is impaired. It's just real simple. And if you slumped over in your patrol car, how are you going to catch the bad guy slumped over?
But obvious abuse of the public and abuse of your authority on the street is not cause for firing, but, you know.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I mean, I totally get it. I totally get it. I'm just saying, hey, look, man, if you're going to be on the job, be alert and aware. And I get that. And I totally get it. And now, you know what? And matter of fact, Clarence, I appreciate you for checking in and even dropping that. This is what I thought, because I thought the exact same thing. I said, wait a minute, hold up.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Clarence. I said, wait a minute, hold up, man. How does this work, right? Like, this wasn't an immediate firing, folks. This wasn't like going through a grand jury. There was no real conversation. It was like, boom, you're gone. Bye-bye, right? But this officer was still in his probation period, for one. And so he was just fresh out the academy, right? But the other thing about it is, I think that it didn't go through that long process, because when you are on duty, you're supposed to be aware and alert. It's just very simple. It's like, it's obvious, it's blatant. Whereas if a police officer hits somebody, shoots somebody, then that's considered a quote-unquote a judgment call, right? And so you would have to have a conversation with the officer to understand what his or her thinking was. That's a judgment call, right? Based upon that officer, how that officer felt in that particular moment. In this moment, you're drunk. I get it. I totally get it. And for that, yes, I do not need to see a drunk police officer sitting up. That's just not your job for you, man. I'm so sorry. Thank you for playing. All right, let's go back to the line. 410-319-8888. Folks are checking in on our Facebook page. Paula mentioned, let's not forget the officer that was punching the guy repeatedly. Remember him? His name was Arthur. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Yep. And others are agreeing with me. You can't be drunk, be on the job. Yeah, you deserve to be fired. That's any job. Come on, man. If you work in an office, you can't be drunk. That's any job. All right, let's go back to the phone line. Let's go to, who I haven't heard? Oh, Robert from Columbia. Robert, talk to me. What's your expectations for the police department at this point, Robert?
How you doing, Faraji?
I'm good.
I have a couple of issues that I'm really concerned about. From what I understand is that this was a probationary officer, a rookie officer with 2 actual days on the street, second day on the street. This is gross negligence of high proportion.
Yep.
And if what I understood you to say, that the spokesman, Chief TJ, said that you don't smell their breath. Well, I'm a retired police lieutenant. I taught police officers. It is the responsibility of the police officials, his sergeant, his lieutenants, to make sure that every single officer who takes to the street is fit for duty. So, of course, you come by and you smell his breath if you need to. It is his responsibility. And why would he be 2 days on the street without a training officer? He's still a probationary officer.
So normally he would be on a ride along with someone else.
He's in a car with a senior training officer.
Gotcha.
That's how it's supposed to go.
Hey, Robert, but you know the mayor has talked about this and many others. We don't have a lot of officers right now. So do you still make that judgment call, that decision?
That doesn't matter.
Okay.
They are still grossly irresponsible for putting someone out there who doesn't know the job alone.
Gotcha. And so you really do smell their breath. That's what you're saying, huh, Robert?
I tell you what I did. It was my responsibility when I was in charge of officers going out on the street every day. It was my responsibility to make sure that not only did they breath stuff didn't reek of alcohol, that they didn't reek of a body odor. They had to be on top of their game.
Isn't there an inspection that's done?
Of course, there's an inspection before you take to the street. Of course, there's an inspection for the TJ to say, "Well, you don't do that." Then the sergeant that was responsible for that squad, the lieutenant who was responsible for that squad, it was a system breakdown, and every last one of them are held responsible. Just not this guy who went out and got drunk and fell asleep in the car. Did he get drunk while he was in the car?
I don't know. That's
before he came to work and was in roll call drunk, and nobody noticed it.
Hey, let me tell you something. I've been around drunk people. I'm sorry. I can kind of smell that.
Of course you can.
I'm just saying.
If he was in his scout car,
yeah.
And a citizen came up and he could smell it?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
This is a lack of respect for the citizens of Baltimore. They said, go and do whatever you want to do. Mm. And they should be ashamed. And TJ should be ashamed of himself for putting that out there as if there's no responsibility of the officials to make sure that each and every person goes out on the street is physically fit, mentally fit, and looks the part of a police officer, a professional police officer.
Wow.
This is disgusting to me. It really, really is.
Robert from Columbia, thank you so much for making your voice heard, known, and certainly making your presence felt. Charles from Baltimore coming to you. Kenneth, Dwayne, Eric, Ernest. We're talking about it. Baltimore City Police Department. Embarrassing moments. Probably has been a rough week. Here's the question, though, folks. As rough as this week, what are your expectations for the next police commissioner? Because that's the big one, right? The mayor's going to be making a decision in a little bit, in a few weeks. And given the way the department is going right now, whether that man or that woman takes the helm of the Baltimore City Police Department, where do they start to do the work of bringing the Baltimore City Police Department back on track? I want to hear your thoughts. 410-319-8888. And of course, make sure you post your comments on our Facebook page at For the Culture 88.9, as well as for Raji Muhammad. Stay riding with us. Whole lot coming up in the final 30 of For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM. Absolutely the voice of the community.
I do this for my culture.
To welcome back to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Tonight, we are talking about the Baltimore City Police Department. But at 6 o'clock, folks, we're going to be switching gears to give you all that you need to know as we kick off homecoming weekend this evening. That's right. We'll have a special live broadcast of Homecoming 2018 live from 16 on the Park Rooftop Restaurant right there at 800 North Wolf Street. So if you're out and about and around that area, you want your face to be in that place to celebrate Homecoming 2018 as we bring you another exciting edition of Morgan's Sports Live. You're going to hear that live broadcast in about 29 minutes, folks. But the party will continue to happen all the way up until 8 o'clock tonight as we celebrate and kick off Homecoming 2018. And you'll be checking in with my man Lamont Germany and a whole lot of other folks from the WEAA family. And also just enjoy the drinks, the food, and the whole experience getting you ready for Homecoming 2018. Live broadcast in a few moments, live from 16 on the Park Rooftop Restaurant, 800 North Wolf Street. All right, folks. And of course, that's brought to you by 16 on the Park, the Maryland State Lottery, and of course, WEAA. All right, to give you a little bit, we're talking a little bit about this police situation. And I want to give you an opportunity to just share your thoughts on it, because I'm coming to you trying to figure out what should our expectation be at this point, right? When we have a police that is working at a dysfunctional level. And I'm not, and this is, again, I have to really emphasize, I'm not making mockery. I'm not trying to talk bad about anybody or any particular institution. But I'm saying at this point, when you have internal strife and then external strife, something is not working. Something is truly, truly not working. Let's go back to the phone line, see what you got to say. 410-319-8888. Ernest, West Baltimore, talk to me, sir. We got Ernest?
Got me?
Yep, got you now, Ernest. Talk to me.
Okay. If that officer had not been on probation, he could not be fired for being drunk by the police commissioner.
He was on probation.
That's why he was fired. If he hadn't been on probation, he would have to go before a trial board.
Yep.
Now, in New York, you remember the Mullen Commission?
Mm-hmm.
Those police up there in New York was not only drinking, they were snorting cocaine before the tour of duty.
Wow.
That's what they showed up in New York and at 27th Precinct. They was not only selling drugs for the Dominicans, they were snorting drugs.
So, Ernest, even given this, right, what is the expectation we should have right now? The mayor's looking to install a new police commissioner in a few weeks. What should be one of the expectations that we should have, in especially either in that person or in the direction of the department?
Well, you got to vet the person and make sure he doesn't have any kind of excessive force in his background. Kevin Davis is known to have kidnapped a young man and took him across county lines and assaulted.
Well, I don't want to put out any information. I mean, you're saying he's known for that, but I don't know if everybody truly know that.
Well, it's in the news.
That he kidnapped somebody?
Huh?
That he kidnapped someone?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Look it up. It's on the internet.
Okay.
Yeah. Now,
you know,
I noticed the other thing too, that T.J. Smith or Kevin Davis, they've been on the radio recently on an AM dial.
Okay.
They don't mention Detective Souter's name.
Okay.
Now, they don't mention his name at all. Now,
all right.
You think that if they really thought that somebody killed him, they would all of a sudden stop talking about it?
Right. So it sounds like two things from you, Ernest. Expectation is we need somebody to be highly vetted. And then the second thing, there needs to be a greater transparency.
You got to have greater transparency.
All right.
And you know, they have 40 homicide detectives in Baltimore City.
Mm.
A lot of them are senior homicide detectives, a lot of experience because they have a lot of killings here. If 40 homicide detectives can't decide, can't come to the truth of whether Detective Souter committed suicide or was it a homicide, then you should get rid of that whole unit. Everybody should be gone.
Gotcha.
Or everybody should be investigated to
All
see
right.
what they wrote in their preliminary reports.
There we go. Ernest, got to let you go from West Baltimore. Thank you so much for checking in. Ernest gave us three things, actually, folks. Outside of the fact that he talked about Kevin Davis kidnapping somebody because it came from the internet. But, you know, it is the internet, folks. But the reality is he did give us some good ones. Vetting, transparency, and accountability. But here's the thing. When you tell me that, break it down to me like I'm in the police force. Like, what does that actually mean for a police officer or a police department, right? What does that actually mean? Like accountability to who about what? Transparent about what, right? Vetted by who? You know what I'm saying? Because I think that we throw out these words and then it becomes this like catchphrase, like we just need transparency. And it's like, by who? Now, one of the things that the mayor mentioned, and she didn't give too many plans on, but she did certainly mention it, is that, you know, in her search for a police commissioner, she's going to have a 7-member panel. And she's also, you know, hinted or alluded to having a listening tour, right, for this police commissioner. Okay. So she's talking about the listening tour, a 7-member panel, and then she essentially makes the final decision, right? Okay, fine. I would humbly suggest that instead of us doing a listening tour, right, because I think we're pretty good about what the problems are, right, that there should be a community component to this process, right? And I know it may delay the process, right, but if you include it, I don't know, the Civilian Review Board or some other community-oriented, community-based group or groups to be a part of this process, then I think it would add a little bit more legitimacy and credibility to those of us who are not used to or not privy to that process. So that would be my only suggestion, that they include something like have the commissioner or the applicants for the commissioner to come up to be interviewed, to be vetted by a community group or groups, right? Whatever community groups that have been active of this whole thing. I mean, just because it can't be the same process that we've always used. The police department is in a dysfunctional state at this point. So instead of us doing the same thing, expecting different results, because that would make us insane, and being insane would make us dysfunctional, how about we try something different, and then maybe we'll get some better results, and then we can get out of the dysfunctional place into a more functional place. But there has to be a community component. That's the only thing. Madam Mayor, I would humbly suggest that. We need to have a community voice in the process to choosing the next police commissioner. If the community's voice is not there, this is going to be a closed-door process, good old boys process, blue wall process that cannot be penetrated but will certainly be felt by the people who is by the people in the street, because guess what? We're not there. We wouldn't have any voice. All right, let's go back to the phone line. Eric from Overly, thank you so much for checking in. What's your take?
Ernest basically said what I was going to say about the person being a probationary person. And you also said something about the community component.
Yeah.
This is like a crazy, you know, throw it up on the wall, see if it sticks type idea. But, you know, maybe, I don't know, you remember the movie Brubaker?
Mm.
And how he was locked up with the prisoners and people didn't know he was the he was the new warden. Maybe if she makes a decision, you know, she's real strong about it, have that person put on the job, you know, and let him stay there for like 2-3 weeks before you even announce him, and let the guys see what the job is like.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? To go amongst the troops and they don't even know.
So it's like a probationary period.
Well, I'm saying like they don't even know that he's the selectee, and
okay.
Would be able to see where the bodies are buried, see how the guys actually do the job, rather than them telling him what he wants to hear.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, it's probably, you know, crazy, too crazy to even work. But, you know, it would be great if someone could, you know, be on the job for about 2-3 weeks. And guys don't even know this is the new commissioner.
Well, you know what?
You get what I'm saying?
Hey, Eric, I like that idea. Matter of fact, you should take, let's add another piece to that, Eric, because I think I'm throwing out a crazy idea. You throwing out a crazy idea, right? We're just gonna be two crazy guys trying to fix the police department.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Imagine if you took all, say, the final three applicants, because the mayor said that she's gotten applications from around the country for this position.
Uh-huh.
Imagine you take the final three and you do that. Like, say, okay, for the final three, we're going to do like 3-week ride-alongs and that type of thing for the final three and see how they respond, right? Look, the rush to get a new commissioner, I think that we should just really think this thing through because the department is we don't need rushed leadership at this point.
No. Now, we're at the 11th hour, and our city is in dire straits. And we got to try something.
We got to try something different.
Exactly.
We got to try something. Hey, Eric, thank you. Let's go back to the line. Let's go to Kenneth. Kenneth, talk to me. What's your take?
Hey there. I like your idea better. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, I like your idea better. Let the people select the have a panel, like you said. Select the people. Select the police chief. And another thing you said was. That the police department is in dysfunctional, just like the Orioles baseball team.
Nice.
They don't want to hire the right people.
They don't want to hire the right people. And we can't talk about it. Kenneth, why are you trying to bring up the Orioles in this conversation, man?
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, I know what other
No, but you're right. You're right.
You missed my point.
No, I got your point, Kenneth. Trust me, I got your point.
Mm-hmm. So, what's going on up on top of the roof tonight?
Well, we're going to have a celebration of Homecoming 2018 right there at Wolf Street. So you can go right. So at 6 o'clock, we're going to switch over the conversation, and you will be able to hear the great celebration to kick off Homecoming 2018.
But you understand what I'm saying? If the people can't elect their own police chief, then they can't do any complaining.
There it is. I like it. Hey, Kenneth. I like it. I got to let you go because I want to make sure I get all my callers in tonight. I like it. If the people can't select their own police chief, right? You can't – look, folks, you know, you can't please everybody. But at the end of the day, if you get a group of citizens who are serious and have been active about doing this work of police accountability, police reform, bring them together. I don't care if it's 40 people. Bring each applicant. Each final applicant, final three, I'm going to stick to the final three applicants, and they got to sit in front of a round table of about 30 people representing various agencies or rather various organizations, and they just fire off. You can set it up to be a very structured conversation, but bring the scrutiny, bring the heat. Why? Because the department is operating dysfunctionally. No more letting them just slide through and then we just accept the leadership. At this point, we should be a part of the decision making about who leads our police department. That way we can take ownership and we will be held more accountable to them as much as they will be held more accountable to us. All right, let's go back to the line. Charles from Baltimore, talk to me.
Right now.
Yes.
Yes.
I didn't think you were going to take my call. You said you were going to take me after the break. Then you took four more calls.
Yeah, go ahead, Charles. I got you.
Okay, because I know that y'all hate to hear the truth when it's coming from a real man.
Now, Charles, we've been talking to real men all day, but go ahead.
No, you're not. You got the police that are doing a poor job, they are 90% criminal and 10% professional. And that's the way it's been for the last 50 years that we've been talking to y'all on the radio, and y'all been feigning like y'all don't understand what, what we're talking about.
Hold on, Charles. Slide up, bro.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Who's been saying what? Like, we don't. How do you not? You,
feigning,
wait a minute.
Feigning,
first thing.
Feigning. Feigning means that you are pretending like you don't understand, you don't know what's going on.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Time out. Mr. Armchair Revolutionary. Time out. Hold up. Hold up, sir. My question my question to you, sir, is this.
I don't say the same thing on every show.
Oh, no. We don't say the same thing. But are you talking to me?
Armchair revolutionaries repeat themselves on every show.
Oh, we don't repeat themselves, but we're talking to a group.
I speak to the topic on the show.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Charles. I'm going to give you, look, you're making a point saying that we're saying the same thing, but are you talking to your neighbors? Are you talking to your the folks at your church or wherever you go? Are you talking to the people around you? Because you're talking to me as one person, but I'm saying you have the platform. You got the mic right now. Talk to the people that are around you. Talk to your neighbors. Talk to the citizens of Baltimore. So you're saying, well, we're saying the same thing. What are you saying?
Please, if you got somebody doing a 90% criminal job and a 10% professional job, would you still keep them as employees?
No, we wouldn't.
That's what the police are doing. So why would you keep the police on?
So you're saying, why would we keep the police on? The question becomes then, so what is your recommendation is what exactly?
You're feigning like you don't understand again. That's what I'm talking about.
You're saying what? To fire everybody in the police department? Come on, Charles. Be clear.
Are you LGBTQ? Are you LGBTQ? Because you,
right,
are you white?
All right, right, all right.
You just
all right.
Acting like
all right. Let's Charles. You gone? Thank you, Dwayne. Baltimore, talk to me, sir.
Hey, thanks for letting me ride. You know, when you first rattled off the events of the police department, the first thing that came in my mind, and this is sad to say, was, hey, sounds like a regular day in Baltimore to me.
Damn.
I mean, the police department here has so many issues that they need a real strong leader. And I can tell you, my 26 years of service, that, leadership is not touchy-feely. We need somebody that's going to come in here and go enforce the standards and raise the standards and has a plan to try to reduce some of this crime so that Baltimore can be the shining city on the hill that it potentially can be, but it constantly falls all over itself and ensures that it doesn't get to that level.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't know if the citizens of Baltimore, anybody taking this job, okay, they know what the challenges are, okay? And I don't think that, they could talk to the civilians and do a listening tour and all that stuff, but we need somebody with strong leadership, okay? Because, if we're not getting the leadership from the mayor, if we're not getting the leadership from the governor, then the last line of leadership that we have is going to be that police commissioner. You see what I'm saying? And so we need somebody with really strong leadership skills to come and enforce some really high standards for this city to recover. The city is sinking into a hole of poop. Mm. Okay, this crime is diverting more business and more people are leaving every single day. We need a strong leader. And the citizens of Baltimore, as passionate as they are, as compassionate as they are, as intelligent as they are, okay, they are focused on feeding their families. We elect a mayor and we elect a city council to have these meetings that y'all are talking about so that they can get us a police commissioner with a plan. With the high leadership skills, okay, and that are going to enforce outcomes, enforce those skills based on the outcomes. Touchy-feely is not going to do it. It's not going to do it.
Dwayne.
We need leadership.
You do need leadership.
High-level leadership.
You need, and I think one of the big things, so Dwayne, thank you so much for checking in. One of the big things that I like to highlight from your comment is having a plan. And a plan is based upon what your vision is, right? We can't choose leaders for convenience or of convenience. I'm going to say that one more time, folks. We can't choose leaders for convenience or those who take the role because it's of convenience. No. This takes time. And I know that the ship is sinking. It's got holes in it. It's the 11th hour. But this might be the moment that we stop just making the same steps or taking the same steps and saying, you know what? Hold on. I know we came off of a high, high month of murder. All right, hold on. Let's just make sure that this thing is done right. Because Baltimore has a very, very unfortunate and tragic history of going through police commissioners like we go through our clothes. Let's be honest, right? From the small infractions of the law to the large infractions of the law. We can't keep going through this, man. This is tiring. This is absolutely tiring. And if a department is operating dysfunctionally, you can't bring a department back into a place of stability without what? Thought. Thinking every step through, because every step counts, every step matters. And of most importantly, you can't bring this department back into a place of stability without community, the people, the citizenry, those of us who are impacted by its leadership each and every day. Let's go to Den out of Bowie, new caller. Den, thank you so much for checking in. What's your take?
Hey, how you doing, man? The name is Ben, but look.
Ben, yes, sir.
I don't know, I ain't got much time, but this is what I'll say. You got 30 years on the job.
Okay. As an officer?
Yes.
Fantastic.
First of all, things are not going to get better in Baltimore. Matter of fact, they're probably going to get worse.
Oh, my Lord, Ben.
I'm going to tell you why.
Come on.
Because under the most, the best circumstance that could happen is that you end up with a professional police department. And that's what you're supposed to have.
Right.
That sets expectations and hold people accountable.
Right.
That's the best thing you're going to get from the police department. All this dancing and going out and hugging and kissing on the citizenry is not going to change the problem. The problem is the misery index in Baltimore City is through the charts. And what do I mean by misery index?
Yes, please explain.
Poor schools, lack of proper nutrition, lead paint exposure, black men who have abandoned their post, black women who are abandoning their post, a lack of morals, and intellectual decision-making. We don't have any of that in Baltimore. If we do, it's at a very low level. A police officer with 60 college credits to his name can't solve those kind of problems, but yet the citizenry thrusts them in a position to try to solve a problem they're not capable of solving. Now, with the police department, the culture in Baltimore City Police Department will not change until one major thing happens. You have to remove lieutenants from the union.
And Ben, go ahead, Ben. I'm gonna let you finish that thought because
there's no police department in the country who has management with union protection and union rights. Where's their loyalty? If you're a commissioner, the best plans you lay are not going to be executed by someone who's playing both sides of the fence. And what do I mean by that?
Yeah.
They're answering to the union. They're answering to the union. Their loyalty is not with the division of the leader. They're not answering. So no one talks about this. But the culture in Baltimore City Police Department will never change if my own lieutenants undermining me as a commissioner of the police department.
Wow. Ben, I got to let you go. You say you were part of the department for 30 years. Wow. Let me see who else we can get in. Let's get in Kevin and a couple of calls real quick. Kevin, let's go. Calling from Baltimore. Thank you for your patience.
All right. You know what? I got this to say. First of all, I look at the mayor. I look at the mayor before the current mayor and the mayor before that mayor. and they all have done the same thing, including the two mayors. She's doing the same thing all the other mayors. You put up these smiling faces and dancing figures and marching and all this other crazy stuff, and then you fire a commissioner and bring in a new commissioner, and it just goes on and on and on. I kind of agree with the last caller. I think it would have to be some type of professional, whether it's from the federal level or something like that, somebody that's not so much connected to the police, so they come from the outside in. And you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But that's my comment right there. I'm sick of all of the shucking and jiving by these mayors, all of them. The new mayor's talking about, instead of putting money where the money's supposed to be in the city, he's talking about building up Lexington Market and building a new city hall. And I mean, come on,
right,
you know?
Right, right. Hey, Kevin, got to let you go, but I appreciate you for sharing your thoughts. Hey, look, folks are checking in. Make sure you can continue the conversation on our Facebook page. Let me just share with you with some folks who said real quick. Chris said, I'm glad I retired at 42 years of age. 5 years, 1 month ago, the mayor, city council, and police are only concerned with where the money is. Wow. The neighborhoods left to rot and run wild are just going to be. The mayor needs to hire a real professional police commissioner and stop trying to run the department from City Hall. It's a part in The Wire where Burrell says the mayor gets elected and all of a sudden they know police work. Woo, tough criticism there. And so, folks, we're going to continue to stay up to date on this and continue to have conversations about this. I know some of you are like, well, you're talking about the police. We're doing our job. We're doing our job, folks, and it's our job to make sure that you stay informed and understand the context for all of these things that are happening in the city. That's our job. But more importantly, my hope and prayer really is that you become empowered and that you become inspired to want to get involved. This is why civic engagement is so important. All right, folks, that's going to do it for tonight's show of For the Culture. We're going to be checking in a few moments to what's happening down at 16 on the Park Rooftop Restaurant right there at 800 North Wolf Street to get you ready and revved up for Homecoming 2018. That's right. You could join us in a few moments for Morgan Sports Live. But if you're in the area, go through. Stop through. Come through to 16 on the Park and get a little something. And enjoy that special WEAA happy hour. So, folks, I want to thank you for checking in and riding with me. I want to thank my dynamic team, Mallory Pinker-Pierre, Alex Blanc, my production assistant, Jalen and Daryl, and Dre for making me sound so good. So get ready for Morgan Sports Live coming right at you here on your source for cool jazz and more. It's WEAA 88.9 FM, absolutely the voice of the community.